I had a similar crash course interest in William Grant Still's music, you know, maybe 15 years ago in school. And, you know, my late teacher at that time was really good friends with Judith, and he was in the process of, you know, starting to think about recording Still's complete piano works. Well, he passed, and he assigned me one work, Three Visions. And, you know, and I played it, and I was like, oh my gosh, why haven't I heard of this stuff? You know, and that sort of began my search and my passion, and I contact Judy, and so much great music. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to recently record the complete piano works, the most complete recording ever. And Judy will be, you know, she's getting that in the final stages of releasing it and putting it together. And, and so forth. But yeah, William Grant Still is an addiction once you discover him. You know, it really is. And you know, it's a mystery why, you know, especially Still's music and other African-American composers aren't really into the canon of American repertoire.
Right.
You know, and so that's been sort of one of my passions, has been slowly, you know, exposing, you know, not just the music world, but the world in general. It really is like a true American story. I always think this would be a great movie, you know, The Life of Dr. Still.
Absolutely. And the thing is, isn't that how he visualized his music, really, to make it part of the American music scene? He didn't want it to be any more, but he didn't want it to be any less than any other music. He wanted it to be considered as much as any other great music.
Exactly. I absolutely agree. It's, you know, still like many composers, whether it's Rachmaninoff or Bartok, you know, will draw on the folk music, you know, of the nation. And you know, America's such a melting pot. There's so much folk music to draw on. And he, you know, I think successfully pulls a lot of that material in, you know, as sort of the native composer. You know, I studied in Moscow briefly, and you can't go anywhere without hearing about Rachmaninoff, who's a great composer, of course.
Of course.
You know, Tchaikovsky, and, you know, and all the folk themes and the Russian bells, you know, it's so ingrained in the music, and it sort of resonates, you know, with the people there. And I think there's a great potential for Still's music to resonate, you know, with the general American public, you know, let alone the general music scene.
And it's unfortunate that after all these years that it has stayed by the wayside, that it's remained sort of undiscovered, and yet isn't there just a sort of he faced as other composers did just sort of a pushing aside of his music. And then Troubled Island would be a case in point, where wonderful opera, but it just wasn't, it was purposely not panned well, I think.
Yeah. I think during Still's time, obviously, you know, being born literally in the late 1800s, he faced overt, you know, racism, where, you know, it's a wonder he was able to do what he did in such an environment. And, you know, and I think that really, you know, set him back as far as being on equal footing and perception, you know, with Copeland and others, just because his music was suppressed during the time where they were flourishing. And so now, you know, after his death in 78, you know, you have the 80s and the 90s, and there's a push, you know, and it's growing, a push to have his music heard. But, you know, people are so used to hearing the name Gershwin and Copeland and, you know, Bernstein, who are all great composers. But, you know, they've sort of been injected and inserted as the establishment American sound. And I think, you know, specifically African-American symphony is just as American as Rhapsody in Blue, you know, when you hear it. You know, what other symphony, you know, successfully takes a blues theme and makes it this exceptional work of art in a standard symphonic form?
Yes. And And yet, I mean, that's a great example. And yet his other works, many of his other works also used folk music or religious tunes and that sort of thing. I mean, vocal music was an important part of his life from early on. I think he was intending to get into composing opera.
Yeah, exactly. Strong religious underpinnings, really good, you know, drawing on folk tunes. I think specifically his piano works, I think nearly all, if not all, are programmatic in some sense, you know, with some exceptional meaning or deeper story in it. It totally changes the way you play and listen to the piece. I tell my students, it's like, if you listen to Mozart's Requiem and you don't understand this man was literally dying, you're really not capturing the true interpretation of the piece. And it's the same thing for Still's works. The first piece I ever played by Wingrand Still was Three Visions. And, you know, I don't know if you know the story of Three Visions, but when you look at the story and read it, it really is the rapture, you know. And, you know, first movement, Dark Horseman, is literally the apocalypse. You hear the horses galloping and the pain and the anguish. And the second movement, you know, Still explicitly said Summerland was what he perceived heaven to be. And, you know, you literally hear this dialogue between God and man. And at the end, the tune keeps rising, sort of the ascension into heaven. Mm-hmm. And the final movement, Radiant Pinnacle, there's this theme that's constantly changing and it doesn't stop until the end. So there's, you know, modulation, elision, this sort of metamorphosis, and this is sort of God recreating the earth. And then at the end, you have these final chords, and that's like the it is finished. You know, and when you think about it like that and you listen to it, you know, it's very, very powerful.
Yeah. I think Judith had mentioned specifically Radiant Pinnacle. Had talked about that to me. And I'm sure she's mentioned the importance of overall of the three visions. Summerland sort of took on a life of its own. I think it's played
exactly
by itself.
Summerland is one of the more established works where more musicians know about it. It's been arranged for so many different arrangements. I recently completed a two arrangement for Judith in a collection of Summerland. But Radiant Pinnacle is very abstract. Tonally, it's constantly moving. And if you listen to the piece, it starts with this theme that it's constantly repeated and there's subtle changes each time. And it just, you know, he flips it, he turns it, he stops it, and then starts it again in reverse, you know, metaphorically speaking. And you know, it really doesn't stop until the end. And as far as in a larger context within the piece, you know, whether you're religious or not, we do know Still was religious. So we have to try to look at it through that lens.
Yeah.
But it really is a recreation, you know, recreation and then a rest. And when you hear it after the other two movements, it really puts it into perspective.